Well, go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians 13. I'm going to get right into it today. This is a joy for me, this one, that we get to teach today. Do y'all know we have an incomparable inheritance, something? Well, we have many things that was not available to the saints in the Old Testament. And we all know for sure about, as we've been going down the born-again trail, Dave's been teaching us about how we have what they could never have, no matter how much they loved God, no matter how much they wanted to serve God, and no matter how much fellowship and how much time they spent, the one thing they could not have was the new birth. Glory to God for the new birth. But I want to show you something else that they did not have, and I'm talking about your average person in the Old Testament. What they also did not have was the ability to have daily fellowship, and I mean two-way fellowship, with God the Holy Ghost. That's why you had to go to the prophet if you wanted to hear from God, or you'd have to go to the priest and he would use the Urim and the Thummim. I don't know if that's how you say it. But that he'd have to use that, you know, because the prophet and the priest and the king, for the most part, now every now and then God would visit a judge, you know, like a Gideon, someone like that. But it's because God had a special call. But I'm just talking about, as Dave would say, Joe Average, Mary Wallpaper. Your average believer did not have access like that. And I don't mean, it's not that they couldn't pray to God. They could, and he would hear. But they did not have the same level of fellowship, two-way communication, available to every born-again believer by the Holy Ghost. Well, today we're going to talk about that fellowship that's available to us. So, 2 Corinthians 13, I want to show you the way that Paul concludes this letter. And sometimes we'll just pass over a verse, you know, thinking that we know what it means. I remember several years ago, in fact, I know it was 1998, when this verse we're about to look at became alive to me, and I began to understand it meant a whole lot more than what I'd been taught in church. I'm not talking about this church. Talking about where I grew up. And Paul is concluding this letter to them. And I'd like to back up a little, but we've got a lot to cover here today. Verse 14, the very last verse. 2 Corinthians 13:14. And he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Now, being raised in a denominational church, we had communion services. And the only thing that I knew that communion meant was the... Of course, we didn't use wine. We're way too holy for that. We used grape juice and a little wafer of some kind, you know. And that's really all I ever knew about communion, although vaguely I knew that there was a communion. I remember from English in high school, you know, that there's a communion can also mean like communicate. I mean, really, that's probably where the word comes from, you know. Communicate, I think, comes from communion, as we spend time together. But, like always, there's several Greek words that could be used to translate into the English word communion. You know, because, again, there's all different levels of communion. Yes, sir. Okay. Do not relay that which has already been laid. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, the Greek word here, we'll just go right into it then. The one used here is koinonia. Now, koinonia is more than some kind of formal fellowship. Koinonia is the kind of fellowship you have with your best friend. Somebody sent me an email, really. Let me tell you the kind of... Now, this is an exaggeration a little, but it gets the point across. Somebody said, you know, a good friend will help you move. She knows what's coming. You know, and that's true. A good friend will, you know, they'll come and help you move. A best friend will come and help you move a body.
No.
The reason I'm saying that, your best friend knows you, knows all about you. Can I say the good, the bad, and the ugly? And your best friend's still your best friend. Do you know that's the word used here? I mean, that's the kind of koinonia of all the Greek words that Paul could have chosen, or really the Holy Spirit could have chosen, to illustrate the level of fellowship that he wants to have with us. It's koinonia. And this is something that was absolutely not available to your average believer in the Old Testament. But notice Paul, and notice to what church this is written to. Which church, people? The Corinthian church, the church that Paul said is, I can't even give you meat. All I can do is give you milk because you're babies. You're still divisive. You're still competitive. You're still squabbling over the color of the carpet. Well, that easily offended, you know. But he says, the last thing I'm going to pray for you in at the conclusion really of two letters, the last words out of my mouth to you, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Why? Because if you have that, you will not stay the way you are. That reminds me of a message I heard. Where was it? Who was that guy? Dave Roberson. And he was saying, you know, if you'll spend time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, one good way to do that is to allow the Holy Spirit to speak those mysteries and pour everything that Christ is in you, through you, to you, everything. He will not leave you the same. But as the Christ, the glory of the Lord, is as you see it more and more clearly, the Holy Spirit changes you into that same image. Everyone say it again. Same image. Say it again. Same image. We sing that song. We cry. And we love it. To be, oh God, oh boy, this has got to be God now. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. We sing it. We don't think it's really going to happen. The Holy Ghost thinks it's going to happen. To be like Jesus, that's why He came. To change us into that same image, and religion hates those two words. Same image? I tell you, the last thing that the devil wants on planet Earth is a bunch of people changed into that same image. Just one loosed upon the earth did so much damage to his kingdom. 2,000 years later, he's still setting the captives free. Just one! What if there was 100? What if there was thousands? What if there were millions? Changed into that same image. It's not going to happen without that fellowship with the Holy Ghost. So once I started seeing what koinonia was and really what Paul was praying, well, I looked it up in Strong's. You know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I got a Strong's at home. Glory to God. Got a Vines at home. I can look up the words, you know. So here's what the Greek definition, the first meaning given, usually like in our English dictionary, they'll list the meanings of the words. And the first one given is the most common use. It's the main thing that it means. You know what the first word in Strong's Concordance for the word koinonia is? Strap your seatbelt on. Get ready. Partnership.
Praise God.
Wow. Partnership is the very first meaning of that word. Partnership. Why is that? I couldn't understand that for a long time. Why in the world would we have, you know, what is this partnership? See, we all understand that God the Holy Ghost is power. I mean, you can start right off in Genesis 1:2, where it starts right in the beginning. There was darkness over the face of the earth and it was void and without form. But it says But the Holy Ghost, and in the Greek it says he was like brooding, incubating. He was hovering. He was there waiting for something. See, but boy, I mean, he's the one that's on planet Earth. Then God the Father conceives what he wants. God the Word speaks like light be. But who was he speaking that to? God the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the agent of power. When God spoke, light be. Light was, man. Whatever the Holy Ghost does to do what he does, he did it. A partnership. We can see that real clear. The Holy Ghost was the agent of power, but even there, he was not the agent of authority. Now don't get me wrong. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is no less God than God the Father. God the Son is no less God than God the Father. Dave says it like this, if somehow we could see all three of them standing here facing each other, they would stand of equal stature, eye to eye, chin to chin, breastplate to breastplate. But in creation, they have chosen to take these various positions, these assignments. Well, God the Holy Ghost has taken the assignment of the agent of power. We've covered this about 2 or 3 weeks ago in one of the first 8:30 services. That's why when God created man and gave man, his intention was for man, Adam, to be Lord over the earth. And that's why he said, in the same way that he said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that, then he said, let them have dominion.
Yeah.
Who's he talking to now? Same Holy Ghost. He gave Adam the authority. Adam became the agent of authority. But the Holy Ghost was the agent of power. Now, why do you think... See, the problem we have is none of us were there. Well, all we know is the creation we live in, and the creation we live in is not the one Adam was created into. Because after the fall, God says, now, your provision is going to come by the sweat of your brow. How did it come before? And God's assignment to him to tend the garden was before. But yet whatever he did to tend the garden was not by the sweat of his brow. Meditation food. How did he tend the garden? How was he supposed to do it? Let's see. He's the agent of authority. And the Holy Ghost is the agent of
power.
There was a partnership going on. And only when Adam, as some have said, only after he committed high treason, disobeyed God, obeyed the voice of another, he lost his authority at that point. He would speak, but the Holy Spirit could no longer enforce his words. And God says, now, you'll have to make your living, have to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow, because you've lost that dominion. Now, we could get into kingdom finances right there, but what we're really talking about is revival. Because we've come to that place again. I remind you, and I do it because he's reminding me right now. We've gone far enough down the born-again trail. Now, it's not that there's not a lot more to learn. There is on that. But we've come far enough, he says. Do you understand who you are? Where you're from? And I don't mean Shawnee, Oklahoma. You're from heaven.
Yes.
You invader from another world. We ought to lock the doors and close the windows, pull the blinds, because these meetings are for aliens only. Really, the world has no part in this if they're not born again. Hallelujah. We can't turn there again. We did this Wednesday night. When Jesus was introducing the Holy Spirit, one thing he said was, it scared me for a little while. Because he said, the world can't receive the Holy Spirit because it cannot see him. And I wanted to come and to go, I've got a secret to share. Don't let this news get out of the building. I can't see him either. Oh my God, I'm in trouble. I can't see him. But really we can. Because you have the capacity in that spirit that was spawned in you from your Father God. You have a perfect capacity to sit in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. And you can't see him with that natural eye, but I mean, he can teach you just like I used to sit in those engineering classes and have them teach me, you know, stuff I knew wasn't so. You know, like, you know, pi is squared. No, it isn't. I know pi is round, you know, but still I had to sit there and listen to that, you know. You have the capacity to not only perceive, how's that, discern the Holy Ghost, you have the capacity to fellowship with Him. One-on-one, glory to God, and I mean two-way communication, where you hear back from Him too. Now you already know that by, if any of you have really done the message, I notice how I'm letting my eyes go all the way around so I'm not looking at anybody. I know you have, many. You know that you start receiving back revelations. You start begin to discern that voice. Sometimes the communication is a voice. More often now as we progress in this, it comes by visions, by dreams, pictures. Can I say it that way? Pictures. And that's really, you know, Joel prophesied that your young men would see visions and your old men would see dreams. Glory to God, I'm still seeing visions. Hallelujah. I'll take the dreams too, but... First level of koinonia, first level of this fellowship that we have with the Holy Ghost is partnership. He needs us to grow up. We're still, these services are all about our bar mitzvah, if you will. He's trying to mature us, like they have that bar mitzvah in the Jewish culture, you know, where I believe it's age 13, they have a party and they say, our son who was a child, today we declare he is a man. He is of sufficient age now to participate with us in the family business. God is trying to get us of sufficient maturity where we can participate with him in the family business, and his business is souls. His business is revival. His business is Tulsa is in revival. But we've come to that point now where it's good. We'll go down the born again trail some more, I'm sure. But he's trying to get us now where, just like Jesus, the day he was fully mature. I mean, there's nothing for him to learn more about the new nature when he comes up to the River Jordan to be baptized. But he hadn't done any miracles yet. There had been no revivals yet. Why? Because he did not have his partner yet. His partner had to come upon him. Jesus is the agent of authority. The Holy Ghost is the agent of power. They had to partner together. That's why I said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to open the eyes of the blind. I can't quote it exactly, but set the captives free. Glory to God. Preach this gospel to the poor. Glory to God. And he's trying to get us where we have that same fellowship, that same partnership. You, look around at the people. Look at each other. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Look around at each other. You're His agents of authority. Holy Ghost is going, if I don't get to partner with somebody in here, this revival, man, I don't mean just in this church. If I don't get to partner with some of these agents of authority, there ain't no revival coming, although He wouldn't say ain't. Well, let me say it this way. How long would he have hovered over the void, over the darkness in Genesis 1, 1 and 2? How long would he have hovered there, brooded there, incubated there? How long would he have done that, waiting for the words, light be? He'd still be there, wouldn't he? Starting to understand some things? We've got to come into this koinonia, this fellowship with the Holy Ghost. That's why it's the very last words. I can imagine the last recorded words we have of Paul to this church that he loves so much. The last thing he says, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's look at a couple of other words here. The first meaning is partnership. The second one, participation. Can you see that? Participation. God the Holy Ghost that descended upon Jesus still needed, He needed Jesus. Jesus needed the Holy Ghost. They had to participate together in this. They had to walk as one. And didn't say, now here's some previews. In the same way that Jesus was totally yielded over to the will of His Father, this only works as we are totally yielded over to the will of Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's no longer I that live. Well, it is me, but it's not me. But it's Christ in me. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. And this only works as we yield in the same way we see Jesus. And now He's the pattern. In the same way we see Jesus completely. And it's not that He didn't struggle at times. We've already been through that too. Remember the garden? It wasn't always easy on His flesh either. Take encouragement from that. Why do you think it means He knows when we're He knows that how we're tempted? He Himself struggled. It's not always easy to do the will of God. Cost you everything. I heard a minister one time say this, and I didn't understand it at all. I probably still don't understand it like he did, but I'm understanding it better. He said, the gospel is free. All it costs you is your life. And that's really true. Now, I know you can be saved. The blood's enough. I know a lot of people are going to be in heaven just because of the fire insurance. Can I say it that way? I mean, I got to be honest. I got saved for purely selfish reasons. I did not want to go to hell. Do you understand that? I did not want to go to hell. And that's okay with God. You come to Him that way. But if you have real fellowship with the Holy Ghost, your whole motive even for living changes. Progressively. I wish there may be a way to speed it up. Well, you know, and yes, sir, Kita, he says, I assure you there's a way of speeding it up. Whoa. It's not going to take the next bunch 20, 30 years.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's good news. I'm glad I came today. Now we've got to get on with this. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Good. Next one is social intercourse. Social intercourse. You know, Red and I, we don't have any social intercourse yet, although we've spoken of it. I like Red. You like me okay, don't you?
Absolutely.
You know, I like his wife, you know. And they know Sue. And we'd like to, we've talked about, we're going to have to get together one of these days. Now, what are we talking about? You know, not just, hey, how you doing in church? You know, hey, yo, you know. That is one level. You know, and that's not, I'm not Red. I'd like to have any, you know, we'd like to have some social intercourse with you guys. Is that okay with you, you know? And, you know, I look around these faces here, Doug and Lisa and us, what's it been, 2 years we've been trying to have some social intercourse? You know, but you get out to, man, I'm telling you, it's tough. You know, that old deal of God, will God ever use me? Man, He'll really use you. He'll get you busy now. Well, anyway, social intercourse. So what we desire, getting back with Red and his wife here, so those who can't, we desire a more koinonia style, one-on-one, social intercourse between the two of us. I know just a little bit. I know he sings. I know he plays guitar. I know he works at Fiery Brothers, right? I know now that they sing and work with this other thing. But I don't really know them yet. You know, we're friends. He might help me move. I don't know that he'd help me move a body. Yet. And I only use that because it's such an extreme example. You know, I mean, it's a joke. please don't write me any letters. It's a joke, okay? It's a joke. I'm just trying to make a point here about there's all different levels of fellowship. All right, now, let's go on here. It also, so it means communicate. I'm just reading from the Strong's definition, communication. But it also means distribution. Distribution. If you look that up, in a nutshell, plain old talk, what's his is mine, and what's mine is his.
Right.
And isn't that the way it is with the best friend? Isn't that the way it is?
Mm-hmm.
See, my best friend, if he was to pass on before his wife, as far as it's in my power, she'll never be without a home. She'll never go hungry. You understand what we're saying? That's a real best friend. Distribution. What I have is yours. What you have is mine. And we have this with God the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Perfect. About halfway through. Now, again, in these mornings, especially the 8:30s, he's having me share with you some of the things I've learned in what we call the face-to-face documents. This one is, again, at the website, or you can ask for a printed copy. We'll give them to you. This one, what came in 1998 in August, the title of this one is Becoming Aware of His Presence. It's several pages long. There's just no way in the world that we have time to do all of it, just so you can visually see. We're not going to read anything off the first page. But I've got some highlighted things here that we're going to read and look at. You can get the rest of it again at the website. But now, even this, the point is not what he said to me. Although what he says to one, he'll say to another. The only things I took out of there were some specific things that have to do with my calling, or specific problems that I have that you probably don't. Okay? But I did leave enough in there, anyone of you that's read it, I left plenty of embarrassing stuff, didn't I? Because I want you to understand, I'm trying to be transparent enough to help you. I'm a mess like you are. I'm a mess like you are. And he knew I was a mess when he saved me. He knows I'm a mess now. But he's trying to unmess me more and more. You understand that? And so, you know, we can all learn. I mean, when any time the Holy Ghost speaks, so I read these portions. But again, you're welcome to have access to these. But the point is not so much these. My hope and my dream and Dave's hope and dream for you, you write your own face-to-face documents as you spend koinonia time with the Holy Ghost yourself. And I'm going to prophesy into your life right now. The first things, I'm just going to say, the first couple of years, he's not going to be telling you how to straighten somebody else out. You're going to have your hands full time getting yourself straightened out. And in the process, you're going to be so humble. All them people you wanted to judge, you're just going to want to serve them now. That's all. You see, I'm just so glad I'm not going to hell. I'm just so glad I'm not going to hell. Just let me help you now. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, see if this sounds familiar. I'm just going to start here. Let's see if any of you can relate to this. This is him talking to me as far as I'm concerned. Okay? Gary, do you give this the same weight as Scripture? No, I really do not. God is perfect, but everything that comes like this comes through an imperfect vessel. Amen? Gary, do you count it seriously? With my life. Because even if I'm not perfectly hearing, there is no other way for me to get there than by going through this process. If I miss it, I miss it. But it's better than not making any progress at all. And if I fall 7 times, he'll pick me up. And actually, if I fall 70 times 7, he'll pick me up. As long as I am with a true heart seeking after him. Well, now see if you can relate with this. He said to me, Know and understand that I am not angry with you because of your seeming lack of confidence that you're truly hearing my voice and not your own thoughts. I'm probably the only one, right? There's nobody else in here? Any of you ever have that battle? He says again, he says, I know better than you how new and strange and unusual this fellowship is right now to you. But rather than being angry, on the contrary, I am greatly pleased to see that you persevere to become expert at hearing my voice and receiving my counsel. There is no other way. There is no other path. You shall become expert at hearing my voice, as I've already spoken to you. My voice shall be... Boy, now, you want a target to press toward? My voice shall become the easiest voice heard, no matter how great the tumult around you. Just so y'all know, one way I know that that's him and not me, when did y'all ever hear me use the word tumult? One time he used the word myriads. I had to go look it up. I didn't know what it meant. I kind of knew, but I wasn't sure, you know. Tumult. So he says, continue, son, in these times of fellowship. But as your counselor, I say, let no days pass where we do not commune in heart, where we do not commune in spirit, and where we do not commune, now get this, in soul. Let me tell you how you begin that. At that communion in soul that he's talking about, part of that, the first level of that is when your soul chooses of its own accord to say, I'm going to sit here and be nice while my spirit goes into the Holy of Holies. And I'm going to allow it to pray in other tongues. Now, it doesn't seem like communion for your soul, because at that moment, it's like your soul has to sit outside the veil. You know, Paul says, when I'm speaking in this unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And I gave you the demonstration of the pulling the chair up outside the and your soul just has to kind of sit there. That's the first level of communion. And it's really, really based mostly on how hungry are you. Just how hungry are you. But what will start to happen, and again, I take you all the way, I can't relay that foundation, but the first day that I made the commitment to pray in those trucks, remember? 9 hours. Thought I had made the worst decision I ever made in my life. By that time, I had learned quickly that you cannot shout in tongues for 9 hours. I learned quickly that you've got to pray softly. But now think about, you know, and for a guy who's never done it before either. Hour one, I didn't hear nothing. Hour two, I didn't hear nothing. Hour three, I didn't hear nothing. Four, five, six, seven, eight, 9 hours. Thank God I didn't quit after 9 hours. And I come really close. That, just like everybody else, that Dave Roberson don't know what he's talking about. I'm leaving this church. Uh-oh, there's Dave sitting back there. I knew he was there. Thank God I didn't quit. See, I had the great fortune to be raised by O.R. Carpenter. Boy, when it's too tough for everybody else, it's just right for you. Boy, there isn't no such thing as can't. Just can't hardly. It might be hard, but you can do it. So I didn't quit. During that 10th hour is when I had my first, can I say, koinonia coming back to me. My first fellowship coming back to me. Something came out of that came out of the Holy of Holies through that veil. And a vision just exploded on the soul of my mind. This wasn't in my spirit. I know the difference now. I didn't then. I used to say it was generated in my spirit. No, it was generated from my spirit. While my spirit was in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and then an image is projected on your soul. just like a movie. Pew. Like you sit in a drive-in theater, project it right on the screen there. That's how it came. And that was my first koinonia coming back. But boy, once you, and I can't relay that, that's on the tape many times. But boy, once you have a taste, first time I tasted of the fellowship of this woman, my Sue, I was hungry for more. She's over there. She's like, oh, cut it out. Cut it out. Yeah. You start getting that feedback, that fellowship from the Holy Ghost, makes you hungry for more. But your communion in soul develops beyond having to sit outside the veil. Y'all notice when I'm especially here in the anointing, you know. And I don't do it on purpose. It's just, but as a, when you, especially when you're ministering like in a line or even teaching, there's an anointing that comes with the teacher. That my soul is very open to Him right now. It's not totally out of the veil. In fact, the soul truly becomes the servant. Even as now, your soul is serving me, says the Lord. See, right now, the Lord is using my soul because I am the agent of authority still. I could have, yes, sir. I could have called, which God forbid. I could have called this morning, 5 minutes before the service. Got a hold of Tim and Dave and said, I'm not doing it. Because I am the agent of authority. It's my choice. But I can yield my soul to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I can do what I'm instructed to do. Or I can rebel. That, yes, sir. Do you see how that ties in with Wednesday nights and Sunday's, last Sunday's message about the first level of that leadership? Those that are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that, even though it's capital S in there, in the King James, it really should be little s. Because the first level of that leadership, your soul has to learn to yield to the new nature, the conscience on the inside of you. That conscience is the voice of that regenerated human spirit. That's where God gave us an internal law to be our guide. That internal law, as we obey it, is what keeps you sanctified from the world and keeps us holy for His use. But only as we yield to that spirit, as we, that new nature that He put in us, not an external law of commandments, but an internal law of life, as we learn to yield to that as our soul. And your soul still wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to be the boss. It wants to do what it wants to do. It don't care what you think. It don't care what Jesus thinks, really. Until it becomes, it has to be trained. It has to become that soul of meekness. The soul that gets down off the horse. The soul like mine is right now serving Him. I'm my soul. But because it is, and because, just to be honest with you, I don't have any major violations that I know of in my conscience. I'm not running around on my wife.
Praise God.
I'm not embezzling any money. I'm not selling any drugs. I'm not using any drugs. I mean, as far as I know, I've got a clean conscience. So that's what I'm saying. And that's a great benefit because the Holy Spirit speaks through that same place in you. And I know we use words all the time, like the Holy Spirit said, and He does. Very often I can articulate, I can say just exactly what He said. But it's really that, yes, sir. Boy, He's good. But see, the real fellowship, the communion. You know, let's talk about the communion and the fellowship that you have with your own conscience. Now, your conscience, you may not always hear words like, you know, may not hear in your ear, thou shalt not steal. But I don't want to stand near anybody, even though I can't imagine anyone in this room, but if there was a slight temptation just for a moment to steal a candy bar off the rack or something, you know, you may not hear those words, but as your hand would move the first inch towards the candy bar, Does that conscience, is it able to communicate with you? And not just, I'm not talking just words, I mean, but it is a full-blown koinonia. You understand this. You know, he's not stuttering. You know what you know what's going on there. It's a full-blown koinonia, one-on-one, personal fellowship, is it not? Even though it's not necessarily words, boy, it's communication. It's fellowship. It's koinonia. That's the same thing that the Holy Spirit wants to have with you. And like David so eloquently stated. Look at, he's back there shaking. He said, the thing about the new nature, though, it's not statistical. This is what I couldn't get for a long time. Well, I, you know, what's amazing.
Yes, sir.
Man. Have you ever tried to run from your conscience? Boy, no hands are going up, even though. Well, I have. How tough is it? You know, it's tougher than that to get away from the Holy Ghost. I don't care what they've taught you about Him being like a dove. Now, He did descend. He is gentle, meek, and mild. He came down like a dove. He's also the one that opened up the earth and swallowed the sons of Korah whole. I thought a bad thought and the Holy Spirit left me. Did your conscience leave you the first time that you disobeyed it? God said, that's it. No more new nature for you. He just took that new nature back right out of you, right? No, He didn't, did He? New nature's still in there, isn't it? Now see, we... Bless their hearts, the old holiness. You know, they didn't know, they didn't understand a lot of these things. You got to get saved every Sunday, though, if you just tell one lie. Well, you know, I'm alive. I lied, now I'm dead. I got to get alive again. Whoops. Said one little cuss word, I'm dead. Whoops. Got to get born again. Now, the denomination I grew up in wasn't quite that bad. We just rededicated all the time. I mean, I'd wear the knees out on my jeans, you know, from rededicating all the time. Oh, God. But the truth of the matter is, He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead to this part because we're at this part. Think not religiously. Here's the Holy Ghost talking to me and talking to you. I'm telling you right now. Think not religiously that I am only with you when your performance meets certain standards. I have been with you in your finest hour, and I have been with you in your worst. I have been sent to abide with you forever. Everyone say, forever. The blood is continually available for you, and it never loses its power to cleanse. The blood will never fail you. The blood will never lose its power to cleanse you and keep you in fellowship with me, says the Spirit of grace. Now, let's don't skip over that part too quickly there. That's what John was talking about. If we sin, he says, I'm writing these things to you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a lawyer in heaven. But what he's saying there is you can't start sinning and taking it for granted. You can't start justifying it when you sin. You got to run back to the blood. In another one, a time of fellowship with the Holy Ghost, he was talking along these same lines to me, and he said, because I was feeling so low, I had done something that I thought I would never do it again. You ever been like that? I hadn't done it in years. Thought I'm never going to do that again. And I did it again. I felt lower than a snake's belly. You know? And I was just ashamed to even go back to the blood. I was just ashamed of myself. I just couldn't believe it. And I finally went back. I mean, there's no other Savior. There's nowhere else to go. You got to go. I still don't want to go to hell, you know. I still don't want to go to hell, you know. So, and then as I went, and again in another place, he said almost these same kind of things to me. But then he says this. He says, son, as long as you don't give up on the blood, I will never give up on you. That requires staying tender. When you sin, don't run from God, you run to Him. But I mean run that, not with premeditated repentance either. Dave talked a long time on that. You know what premeditated repentance is? Oh, Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, for forgiving me for last Friday night. And all of the partying and the doping and the drinking and the skirt chasing that I did. I thank You for forgiving me, Lord. Thank You for that blood. Lord, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and get some extra grace while I'm here. I'm packing it in my bag because I'm planning on having another Friday night next week. I hate to admit this part. Y'all know how to edit these tapes, right? He'll even walk with you through some of that. Don't ask me how I know. But if you... And that's really what... Again, He will walk through hell with you when you're caught up in stuff and don't know how to get free. But really, you're hating it the whole time. You just don't know how to get free. He'll walk through... Wouldn't your best friend? Yes, sir. That brings us to the next paragraph. So let me read the... I want to reread the last two sentences of this previous one. Talking about the blood. He said, the blood is continually available for you. It never loses its power to cleanse. The blood will never fail you. The blood will never lose its power to cleanse you and keep you in fellowship with Me, says the Spirit of grace. I am the friend who has seen you at your worst, yet I still love you. I cannot be shocked. I cannot be surprised. I can be pleased. And I can be grieved. But my fellowship with you is not so fragile that I would break off that fellowship when I see your failings. You have earthly friends who love you more than that. Think you not that I love you more than those? You know it's true. A friend will help you move. Your best friend will help you move a body. There is a love. Now again, the whole reason for saying that is you're trying to get to the level of fellowship that the Holy Ghost wants with you. He'll walk with you through your darkest hour. And I don't mean just external temptation. I'm talking about your darkest hour where you did it, you know you did it, you're guilty for doing it, and you don't know how to get free. And He'll still walk with you. As long as you don't start justifying. As long as you don't start saying, ah, it's okay. It's not. As long as you don't start calling dark light and start calling sin righteousness. And start... Well, anyways, make the point? All right. Now, the last thing He said to me in this one. Yeah, my shape. See, now here's the scary thing. Yes, sir. I'll do it this way. Here's the scary thing. He's with you, whether you're aware of it or not. And one of the things that really drove that home for me was once... See, Sue and I just happened to be saved 12 years before we started coming to this church and hearing this message. Now, we were Spirit-filled, saved, for those first 12 years. And... We'd pray in tongues a little bit, like most charismatics, you know, and get excited in church, and every now and then some at home. And then Michael Muccio, the one who led us to the Lord, because I wanted to go with him on Thursday nights to the prisons, and I wanted to go and learn and help. Well, his requirement was, if you wanted to go on Thursdays with him to the prison, you had to come on Tuesday nights to his apartment and pray 2 hours in other tongues. And he wasn't kidding. I don't care what. My mother died. I can't come Tuesday night. Okay. You can't go Thursday night. He was serious as a box of rocks about it. So that was my major praying in other tongues. And that went on for a while. But never till we heard this message had I ever heard anybody talk about there was any benefit to spending long hours praying in other tongues. Okay. Now, 1992, made that decision in the trucks. God had me in the perfect job again, I'm not relaying all that, but I wound up praying. Anyway, it depended on how busy we were, how much I was gone from on the road. But it was anything from 40 to 70 hours a week. Now, it was all maintenance prayer. What I mean is, I'm driving a big rig. I cannot be off in a trance somewhere, okay? You know, I'm not, okay? I mean, my mind is occupied with what I'm doing, okay? If I'm driving an 80,000-pound rig through Memphis, trust me, you want my mind engaged in what I'm doing. But I kept those lips a-going. I kept that prayer going. I kept that prayer going. Well, boy, the revelations began to come, and they kept coming, and they kept coming because I kept praying, and they kept coming, and they kept coming, and we kept... At those days, I'd write them in a spiral. Sue would type them up at home. And now, over these years, there's literally thousands of those. And that is our ministry. That is the foundation for all that we do. That's the library that's on the inside of me. Okay? But now, here's the thing. One day, it dawned on me. Wait a minute! Where were those thousands of revelations the first 12 years? I had the Holy Ghost with me then. He was just as much with me the first 12 years as He was the second 12 years. So we've been here now 13, I think. Where were all those thousands of revelations before? It's not because He wasn't with me. There was no fellowship. There was no partnership. There was no distribution. There was no communication between me and the Holy Ghost, my teacher. I think we'll look back at a future time from now, looking back and going, you know, the Holy Ghost, the miracle worker, was with me the whole time.
Amen.
All those years that the blind eyes could have been opened, the maimed could have been whole. For the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. In the same way now, I go, the Holy Ghost, the teacher, was with me. Where was the teaching? And He's going, where is the fellowship? Y'all seeing a connection? Later on, we'll be looking back. The miracle worker was with us then. But the miracles didn't happen until we found out some things about what Paul said. The communion, the fellowship, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said to me, He said, I am with you, whether you are aware of it or not. Yes, sir. Where is it? Okay, yes. He says then, we've got like 3 or 4 minutes here. I don't know for sure that He would say the same thing to you that He said to me this day. I got a feeling He would. He says how many of you would like to know the number one thing you could do right now to speed up your transformation to the image of Christ? Or let's say to bring God's fullness of whatever it is He's called you to do full blown into the earth. Here's the way He said it to me. He says the number one thing you can do right now in order to seek this next clearing, what He's talking about, the next place that He wants me to be, is to practice being aware of My presence all of the time. This may seem like a game to you, but it is of the highest order of reality. It is not frivolous. It is not non-productive. The most productive thing in your life right now is to become constantly aware that I am with you. In every situation, in every circumstance, all through the day, every day, practice being aware that I am with you. Speak with me as though I am there, for I truly am. And whether you hear me respond or no, practice being aware of My presence. For you see, I am with you whether you are aware of it or not. And it is you becoming aware of My presence that causes your expectation for the manifestation of the gifts to be available to you in all situations. Speak to me all through the day. Speak to me as though I were your closest friend, for I truly am. Speak to me as if I were there to help you, for I truly am. We shall commune all during your waking hours, and even in the night seasons, your communion with me shall increase, for I will begin to unfold dreams and revelations and visions of the Lord to your mind. All of these things come as a fruit of your awareness of my continual presence with me. Studying the gifts profits a little, but becoming aware of my presence accomplishes much. Know and understand that I can accomplish more in a single day for you than you could accomplish yourself in many lifetimes. Releasing my power in every facet of your life comes by your continual awareness, continual fellowship with me, and continual hearkening to the instructions I give you by vision, by revelation, and by voice. Give the utmost attention and place the highest priority on becoming fully aware at all times. I am with you. In that awareness, you will find my counsel. In that awareness, you will find my gifts. In that awareness, you will partake of my strength. And in that awareness, you will partake of my love. Above all else that you do, even regarding those things of administration, he's talking about the daily stuff that I have to do, like you have daily stuff you got to do. Even regarding those things, place the highest priority on becoming aware continually that I am with you. This is the most necessary thing in your life, says the Lord, not the solving of your carnal problems. But Lord, I need to do this. Lord, I need to do that. He's going, are you aware I'm with you? Now, how do you literally practice that? We got about a minute. When he says that, trust me, I'm not a novice. I've been at this a while. If you want to begin the communion with your, you begin communion with your spirit by making the carnal decision to pray in other tongues. When I say carnal, I mean a decision from your soul. But this acknowledging him with the soul that begins, that opens the door for that communion, it goes something like this. Holy Spirit, I know that you're with me today. Father, I thank you for giving me your spirit. I thank you for this fellowship that I have with the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is with me. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you today with my soul. I open the door. I am listening for you. I know that you and I are going to walk together all day long. Lord, I'm in every situation I come into. I want you to know, Holy Spirit, I am attentive. I am listening. I am expecting to hear from you. I am expecting visions and dreams and revelations. And I'm expecting to receive instructions where you'll say, go here, go there, say this, do that. And as I do that, as I take my place as the agent of authority, and I'll say what you tell me to say, I fully expect you to manifest your office as agent of power. We will partnership together today, and the will of the Father will be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Something like that. Something like that. This communion with your soul, he wants to fellowship with you. Did you get anything out of that? We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah.